This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
Everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Stranger Things Culture with Lynn, Jamila and Arvin. Today, after a pretty long wait, we are going to be reviewing Season 4, or rather Volume 1 of Season 4 of Stranger Things.
I think that about says it all, really, because we've now come to the point where a show that started off with people knowing very little about it and generating much excitement has grown into this sort of gargantuan event type thing, which apparently is so big a deal that they're not even giving us the entire season at once anymore, which about captures for me my feelings about the season. There's so many things about it that I enjoyed so much. It was exciting to be back in this world, but there are definite issues with how the show has evolved and grown that I have problems with.
I think I should start by saying that at one time, Stranger Things was my favorite thing on TV. And it still is one of my favorite shows on TV. There was a time when I would have sacrificed Game of Thrones if it meant getting more Stranger Things. I love the show. I think it has the best opening of any live-action TV show ever, ever, ever. Like, I love that opening. But I think the gap between Seasons 3 and now Season 4 cost the show its momentum. And I found myself like not being invested enough when it started. But by the end of it, the show kind of reminded me why I love Stranger Things. And now I cannot wait for Volume 2 of Season 4 to show up.
So I guess I just need to confess, right? I think it's easier if I just say up front that I watched Season 1 of Stranger Things. My aversion to 80s children is well documented on the show and elsewhere, and hasn't changed all that much over time, despite us doing several throwbacks. And so when Season 2 came out, I tried a couple episodes and I thought, I don't really. And so I dropped off. However, because we were going to be reviewing Season 4, I thought, all right, like, I'm going to get back into this. I did like a little catch-up crash course and I landed straight into Season 4, like diving in head first. And so I'm coming at it from quite a neutral perspective, is my point. Like, I don't mind the show. I understand its appeal. I also get why its appeal is not necessarily for me. I enjoyed the season. I think that it left me very excited as well for Volume 2. I feel welcomed into the pop culture fold. And now I am ready to theorize, to jump in and theorize with everybody else.
Maybe I'll start with actually exactly the thing you said, the gap, right? The 3 years gap. Because one issue I had going into the season is that I really couldn't remember a lot of Season 3. And I think it's quite telling because Season 3 so far is also the weakest of all the seasons. Mm-hmm. I love the first two. Season 3, it kind of felt like it was doing the same thing again and again. And then how Season 3 ended with this like huge shock. And then season four comes along and a lot of that is just kind of taken away. I think a lot of the buildup they created has dissipated because of time. It's also dissipated because the story also has started accounting for it in a different way. The other issue is really just something we've talked about when we've discussed, I think, the length of episodes when it comes to streaming platforms. Every episode for this season is at least an hour and 15 minutes. And the last episode is feature length. And I felt like that was just a little too much. It gave them too much space and not enough discipline to kind of trim the fat. And I think that this season would have been perfect if certain elements, I think there's like this whole detour to Russia, which I thought wasn't necessary at all. I just wish it was tighter and keeping to the heart of what made the show so great in the first place.
So that is quite interesting, because I thought I was going to find the 1.5 hour episodes like a drag. Like, this is way too long to be a TV show. It's a movie at this point, right? But I loved it. I loved the pacing. I didn't feel the time at all. And the detours I didn't like as much, but it's because I wasn't invested in the story as much. Not because I felt the time and it was slowing down or whatever. I also think that this is the perfect case for Netflix to do a weekly drop. Like, if there's...
Yes.
If there was any example to go like, look, you need to start releasing stuff weekly, Stranger Things season 4 volume 1 would be it, because there's so much, like every episode is engineered for the cliffhanger, and if they had just given people that 1 week or that time to have those water cooler sessions, water cooler conversations, I think it would have benefited the mythology of the show and just the pop culture value of the show so much more.
What's the point of a cliffhanger if you a minute later can just solve it?
I can just hit like watch next. Mm.
I get that. I think that is where the volume 2, it almost feels as if this whole thing was actually one extra, extra, extra long episode leading up to volume 2, which is the true next episode, if that makes sense, because it was actually the final cliffhanger, and there is a really large cliffhanger that ends the season that makes the season feel as worthwhile as it does. And that's because it's a true cliffhanger. There is no way to know what's going to happen until July 1st, which is when Volume 2 drops. And so I agree. I think that there would have been more value in having the episodes marinate a little bit, especially because of their length. So I will say that for me, somebody who is new old to Hawkins, having more time spent in each episode helped me acclimatize. You know, I was like, okay, this is where we are. There's the bicycles, there's the house, the school, the forest, the boats, you know, just I'm back in Hawkins, Indiana, and I get it. And, you know, it gave me time to get used to everybody again. However, I do think, I don't know how much of the story as such we're allowed to say, but everybody is everywhere, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're split off into smaller gangs, and they're all kind of working against the same baddie, but through very separate means and at very separate stages of the plan. And so because of that, I did find the time spent with each gang uneven and different in terms of my level of enjoyment of how much I liked being with whoever it was that I was spending that 5 minutes with.
Yeah, it's that classic thing with ensemble casts that are split up, where if you're not particularly invested in one or two people's arcs,
they're dragging.
Mm-hmm. So you just want it to be over so you can get back to the parts you really like. And I felt that a lot with this season. This show, more than most shows, is a show that thrives on having these characters together. And that includes not just the kids, but the adults as well. And the fact that Winona Ryder, for almost the entire season, is never around the kids. The fact that the kids themselves are split up. And in fact, some of them actually don't seem to reunite at all throughout the show, I think was a bit of a miss in terms of the vibe of Stranger Things, and particularly the kind of relationships that they have with each other. That said, they did introduce a bunch of new characters that I thought were great. You know, you wouldn't think that a show like this could handle more new characters with their own quirks being introduced. And yet, you know, they introduced this high schooler named Eddie Munson, played by Joseph Quinn. I thought he was great. There's a mysterious man named Enzo, played by... I hope I'm saying this right. Tom Vlachiha, who was just the best every time he was on screen. Jamie Campbell-Bauer plays an amazing character. Can't say too much, but...
Very mysterious.
Very mysterious. All such high points for the show.
I mean, you mentioned vibe, right? And the show, like season 4 especially, they've completely flipped the vibe on Stranger Things. Like, it still has that, you know, at the core, it is still the same show. But they pivot to horror, and it's a sharp pivot. Mm. Like, the first time you see the horror that they're going for, it's like, oh my God, like, you are... Like, yes, this is a love letter to 80s and 70s horror icons and horror movies in more ways than one, sometimes very on the nose. But at other times, you're like, you know, it helps to create stakes and sort of tell you that this is a new monster, this is a more mature monster, quote unquote, and they are more mature kids, like they've grown up. So the horror is up there, the violence is up there, there's a lot of gore. But I don't know, like, I appreciate what they are going for. I think this is the best season next to season one. But I also think, like, I miss the Spielbergian innocence of seasons one, two, and three. And every time, like, horror showed up, I was like, oh, man, I wish I had the old Stranger Things. But I also understand why they need to do this new Stranger Things.
I have a low horror tolerance. And I think this one was just about at my can watch for a continuous basis threshold. You know, it's one thing to have horror, like to know you're in for a horror movie. It's quite another thing to watch a series that is like half the time kids' adventures, you know, just wandering through the forest. And then the other time, like torment and trauma and then super violence and a mega monster. And so I didn't mind it. I am just saying, though, that if you also have a low horror tolerance, that in spots, I think the season's quite tough.
Yes, I watched the first few episodes late at night and immediately regretted it. This is actually the scariest season of Stranger Things. I think even just visually, it really leans into the horror tropes, like you said, right? And there are definite callbacks to those classics like Nightmare on Elm Street or Carrie even.
Mm. At the same time, I think this is the season that really expands on the mythology of Hawkins and the lab and the Upside Down and what all these things are. Because season two sort of rode on the momentum of season one, and then season three was like this off season and you were not sure what is going on. I think this season of all the seasons actually tells you and gives you direction, so you know where the series, I hope it's where the series is going.
We were talking today about volume one of season four of Stranger Things. We'd like to hear from you. Did the season live up to your expectations? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's time.
Don't try to be heroes. There is no shame in running. We're a team. Friends. Well, that's gonna be up to us again.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila, and Arvin. And together we are talking about Volume 1 of Season 4 of Stranger Things. Volume 2 is going to be dropping on the 1st of July, so a little less than a month away. And so we all enjoyed it with reservations. I think that's where we're at. I want to talk about the performances, because at this point, we've now seen the kids. Well, I say we. We've now seen the kids grow up on the show. We've seen them develop into their characters in a bit more of a way. I will say that I don't think the acting is even, but that's also what you would expect for something with children. However, I think that the performances are all enjoyable.
Yes, the performances are all enjoyable. And I think, like many other shows or series or movies that use children as their primary cast members, as the kids grow up, I think the people they thought were going to be the leads sometimes don't necessarily end up being the leads. And so it's interesting to see how that's happened over the years as well. Joe Keery is a great example of someone who in the first season wasn't necessarily the nicest characters, but by season four, Steve is just so likable and he's hands down one of my favorites. Gaten Matarazzo as Dustin, again, was the supporting character in the early seasons, but by now is clearly one of the most engaging of the children. I think the cast has always been the strength of the show, and it's really nice to see that that's still there. I just wish that we had more of them together. Again, that part I really miss.
So I love that they, even after all these years, like the three-year gap, right, we were saying at the start, I love that the character chemistry is still like the core of the show. No matter how much horror there is or whatever monster there is or whatever is going on, I think everyone who's watching the show is keen to see how these characters survive and how these characters sort of deal with whatever new threat is popping up, as long as, like you said, they are together. I don't know. So the thing about them being apart, right, I don't know if I love it or I hate it for now. I think that depends on volume two. So I don't know if they're doing like a slingshot thing or they're building momentum or they need you to miss them together, then show them together. So for now, I'm okay with it. Depends what happens in like a few weeks' time.
I think that what the few hero moments that happened in this season, the moments where they wanted you to feel that sense of triumph, that sense of having a character culminate in something, they did that really well. So because they did that really well in this season, I think that it's going to be satisfying when everybody comes back together. So that's where I'm at. I thought that they, on certain story arcs, landed it really well. So I'm going to hold out hope, I think, that that's where I'm at.
I actually want to shout out Sadie Sink, who plays Max, because she was a new addition to season three and then just like hits it out of the park in this one.
She's so natural.
She's so natural. She has some big, big scenes in this season and she does so well. Again, I think I just really like how they've given space for the new characters to also shine in addition to the old cast. And I'm glad that they didn't leave out the little silly fun moments, that amidst all of this horror, you still get them just making like dumb jokes or playing Dungeons and Dragons or like trying to get away with something with their parents. And I like that.
So on that note, right, being super vague, the ending, the last 20 minutes of episode 4, I think is some of the best TV I've seen in a long time. The suspense, the choice of soundtrack, the way the whole thing just plays out. I think it was like edge of your seat, biting fingernails, cannot wait to see what happens sort of TV. I loved it. And I think like just that episode was what got me hooked, like just got me right back in, like, oh, okay, so this is what Stranger Things can do and this is why I love the show. But yeah, especially the last 20 minutes of episode 4.
Oh, I was complaining about the season up until the last two episodes. And then I was like, okay, I'm back.
I, again, as a neutral to positive observer, I one of the things that I enjoyed about the show and that I think I didn't fully recognize until now that Netflix has a few other shows under its belt is the quality of the quality and depth of the production design. And not just when I say production design, which makes it sound like I'm talking about props or costuming, but actually I'm referring to everything, right? The world is quite immersive. So when you're back in the Stranger Things world, or when they're trying to create little cues for you to respond to, I'm thinking of the sound design of this season and how there is one particular toing sound that happens in the course of the season that's meant to evoke a certain level of dread. And it really works. And I was thinking, that's nice. I mean, as that's a neat trick to manage in seven episodes, right? To have you hear that sound and go, Oh no. You know, and so I really like that. I wanted to go back though to that point about the separation and to say that I think tying it back to this idea of performance, part of it, part of the uneven performance, uneven writing, does mean that there are certain storylines that I don't care for like at all.
No, and I
and,
think,
and people.
Yes, and I think it also has to do with how they've been split. Who ends up in which little group, right? Because unfortunately, there's like one particular group that I really didn't care for at all. And it's unfortunate.
But they also didn't do anything.
Yes, they're basically just kind of there. You forget that they're doing anything at all until the show like veers back to them and you're like, oh yeah, they're still doing that.
But it's never not fun, right? Like I would say, like I don't care for them. But when you're spending time with them, I'm like, yeah, okay, this is 5 minutes in this like hour 40 minutes episode. those were my thoughts.
So for me, even though I should be willing to give the 5 minutes, right? I was like, this is 5 minutes away from that story, and
same.
That story just got good. Yeah. So the way that the hour long or hour 15, hour 20 long episodes are structured, they're almost like mini episodes within themselves, right? So it's like five minutes here, 10 minutes here, 5 minutes here. And that structure really works in terms of building up suspense, but it also really shortchanges the people that the story is already shortchanging because you're like, are you serious? I'm back here with you people. You're drips, I tell you. And you know, so it's that, that was, yeah. So I struggle with that.
Did you guys enjoy Millie Bobby Brown? We haven't mentioned her yet. And yet she's, you know, the heart of the show.
Joe Keery is the heart of the show.
Agree.
There was something about her character this season. And she's super important. She always has been. She wasn't the main draw for me. I felt like she was the character that I knew was propelling the story forward. And so I was there with her. But that was kind of it. I think my biggest investment in L happened in season one.
So I loved it exactly for that reason, because it reminded me of season one. You know how in like season one, she's like this sort of like force of nature and you don't know when she's going to show up or why she's there. She's the wild card in the story. And then you're following the friends, right? The group of friends who want to get Will back. This season was kind of the same. I felt like she was in the background and she's doing things and she's like the momentum of the show, but she's not exactly factored into the chemistry of the characters. I don't know. For me, that's my favorite kind of 11.
So less 11, better. 11.
Less Jane, more 11.
Ah, yes. Yeah, that makes sense.
I think she's just a very passive character. She always kind of has been, right? Like, she's very powerful, but because she's somewhat ignorant of the world, she's always in a position of people telling her things, of people showing her things, of her being thrust in some ways into situations in which she then needs to do 11-y things. And I think that we've left it too long for her to now necessarily come up with impetus on her own, right? So instead, you get the feeling that 11 is where she needs to be because the story needs her to be there. And that's unfortunate because, like you both said, she's a powerful character. She is the person driving the story. But as a character within the narrative, she's only in places because that's where she needs to be at any given moment in time, rather than the character having made a decision whether good or bad.
I think I also miss the Hopper 11 dynamic.
Are you guys happy that it's ending? This is the penultimate season, right? So there's one more season after this. We don't know how they're going to split that one up, like, or how many hours that's going to be. But are you glad that it's coming to an end, or could you do with more Stranger Things? Because I'm sad. I'm not going to lie. I'm genuinely sad that it's coming to an end.
I think one more season is just about perfect and right. I don't think this can be stretched out more.
I'm glad it's ending. I think that it's ending in the right spot. I'm happy with where all our respective players are as we enter volume two. And I actually think it's going to be good. I think that that's why I'm excited for it to end, because I think so far what the season has left me feeling is I think they're going to land the plane, calling it. I think that it's going to happen. And so, yeah, for that reason, I'm looking forward to see it end. No other. We are talking today about Stranger Things. Let us know if you have seen the latest season, or volume one of it, rather. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Write to us, movies@bfm.my.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.